So,
what about you, Chad? Are you gonna buy this game?
Well, it's free to play.
Did you buy it?
Well, it's free.
Wow.
So I guess the answer is no.
This kid, dude.
I'm trying to get through this game. Can I finish talking about this game?
Chad, I do apologize for interrupting you. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, I'm done. I got nothing else to add.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the PL Gaming Podcast. We got a first here by people in attendance. Emilio, as usual.
Hello.
Chad.
What's up?
Not Chi, but Lab Monkey.
What's up, guys?
Long dramatic pause. And then Austin joining us.
Howdy. You thought about it for 5 minutes and you come up with, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
That's what you landed on?
When you think about it that hard, it's just, yeah.
And I want to go do mine
intros
again.
Intros are difficult.
I'm going to go with Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Okay, that's worse. All right. But go for it.
All right.
No so, Chi today.
Yeah, no Chi today, unfortunately.
She threw a party for us last night. Well, not for us, but she's a bartender.
Halloween.
It's a Halloween party. That girl hustled so much last night. She was controlling chaos last night, yeah. and
not
doing
to mention
a good job at it.
The hot panda costume, which I'm sure didn't make it easier.
Yeah, she must have been sweating balls in there.
Oh, she was actually wearing a panda costume?
Actually wearing a panda costume.
Remember
she was a Pandarian, I think?
Yeah, she's a Pandarian, remember? Yeah.
Nice.
All right, so it's officially a sausage fest here.
Nice.
Lab Monkey and Austin, you guys are down in San Diego for the weekend.
Yep.
Completely changing the vibe for me because I'm using a handheld mic instead of the typical mic stand and usual setup. So I feel like I'm fucking Oprah over here, like
interviewing the
guys.
Four of us.
This is not working for me. I feel so awkward.
I don't know. I think it's at least helped you speak more this episode, though.
Yeah,
you're doing pretty well so
that's
far.
Gonna happen.
But this is how it works. He talks for the first 10 minutes, and then
that's it.
Slowly transitions.
And then he goes to sleep.
Yeah, this is all I'm talking, so it'll be brief. But yeah, let's get into it. Anything that we should fit into the introduction here?
First of all, on a scale from 1 to 10, how do you guys like San Diego?
It's got to be. I'm going to give it a 9 because it lightly sprinkled today.
Yeah,
it's got to be a slight deduction.
Okay, Austin,
definitely 9 out of 10. Solid 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic city.
That's why we moved here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did quite a bit. We started it off by playing a little bit of co-op, but we saw a lot.
We're going to get into that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we're getting there. We're going to be getting to a lot of stuff. This is a long one, so brace yourself. All right.
Can we talk Halloween for just a hot minute or two?
Mm-hmm.
My girl and I dressed up as the Warcraft characters, Lothar and Garona, to keep on the video game tip.
Cool.
We saw some Luigi. Who was Luigi?
Austin was Luigi.
So I'll say, if podcast listeners are wondering if these people are hospitable and good hosts, they are excellent hosts. I show up in San Diego on Halloween, weekend, and they just have costumes ready for me.
Yep.
Yeah,
we do that here.
Chad is a huge costume guy.
I love Halloween.
Half of his closet is costumes.
Yeah.
They do take up more room than regular clothes.
They do.
This is true. Yeah.
And then there was somebody else that was also doing. What did you go? You were in a flight.
I was wearing a flight suit. I was going as a Iceman from Top Gun.
Yeah, and then Bobby went as himself. It was a, mm-hmm. it was a good costume.
No, he was a spooky skeleton.
Yeah, spooky skeleton.
Because there were his crossbones somewhere on his t-shirt at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, we saw some video game costumes out there though. We saw a really good Nathan Drake.
Yeah, that was on point.
Yeah, that one was awesome. Mario and Luigi, obviously, but there were a few others, right? I saw a bouncer as we were driving through downtown. I saw a bouncer dressed as Mario. I feel like that's going to be a popular costume. But
Halloween is maybe the best holiday. Really?
I think
it's up there.
As an adult?
Yeah. It's funny how it transfers through the ages, because when you're a kid, it's great because you run around and get a bunch of candy, and then you're an adult, and instead of candy, it's alcohol and scantily clad women. So it's like, it's the holiday that just doesn't, it doesn't wear out over time like Christmas. Like
I think it's a big city holiday though. Like if you're out in Montana, you're not having fun doing Halloween.
I don't know. I can't speak to that, but
that's true. That's true.
All right. Well, let's talk about, Chad, are we going to do your audio right now?
Yeah, sure. So I listened to the last two episodes that I missed, and I got to say you guys did an excellent job. I enjoyed them. I listened to them on the way back from my trip, which I will talk about, I think, in the highlights and lowlights a little bit. But one of the things I did notice was there was a rendition of Chad that somebody had done. So I decided to return the favor, and these are intended to be funny, not mean. So please, you too, and she, if you're listening, don't take this as being mean. This is me being funny, and I had the hardest time recording these. I could write them out, but then I had to actually say them.
So you're trying. This is you doing impressions of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So start with she. That one's the shortest one. So yeah, here it is. Maybe.
Like, oh my gosh, boys. Sometime. I've been totally busy with my boyfriend and all, so I didn't get a chance to play anything. But I'm going to stream next week for sure. Oh my gosh, we should totally stream together. My brother is really good at Overwatch, and we would totally destroy if we all game together. Let's do it.
Okay.
So good.
When did she get a deeper voice?
I didn't want to, like... If I had tried to do it, I would have sounded like a Valley Girl, so I just ended up just doing my voice.
That was a fantastic impersonation.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
I told you, these are quiet, Bobby.
Nailed it.
I think you just summed up the past, I don't know, 20 episodes of
yeah. So the next one up is going to be Emilio. So this is my impression of Emilio.
Okay, so I didn't have a whole lot of time this week because I have two companies. Did I mention I have two companies? But anyways, I wanted to give this game a go, as it's been on my wish list since 1983. I'll be honest, I only played the game for 4 minutes, but I feel like I can give you a valuable review. And let me tell you, I loved this game. I loved it. The opening movie was fantastic. Yes, the game crashed 6 times while I tried to play it, but the sound effects were great. We should play co-op. Do you guys want to come over and play it sometime?
Nailed it.
Yeah, that was nailed it.
Wow. I feel like we could just run these every episode. And that'd
So that was.
Why do we have to finish this episode? Let's just put that on loop.
And the last one up is Bobby. So all go right, for it.
Saving the best for last.
Yep.
I decided to give a game called Horse Handler Simulator 2016 a try because I've heard good things about it on 37 of the podcasts I listen to. I gotta tell you, I'm a little disappointed with it. I know my horse handling, as I spent 2 years on a rural Montana farm doing just that before I had to leave the state with the Canadian Mounties on my trail. Anyways, that isn't important. But what is important is they got the feel of the equine brush all wrong this year. The horse handler game from 1985 was definitely better. I'd give that one a try if you're interested in the horse handling simulation games.
This is the best thing you've ever tried.
Okay.
And so the only inaccuracy in that was that there was no mention of HOTS.
Yeah, that's true.
And there was way too much talking.
That's true. Yeah, so those are my impressions of the three of you guys. I almost did Lab Monkey because we've done a couple episodes with Lab Monkey, but I kind of ran out of time. So
sorry, I do one that you can do one for next week. Now that you have a whole episode to work with.
I have a whole episode, so
that was awesome.
Maybe I'll do Thanks Austin too.
Oh my god. Yeah, that was fun. All right. So what games are on the radar here that people are looking at? What's piquing interest?
Yeah, we're looking at Titanfall 2. In the vein of this podcast not really having very much information in it. I'm not sure when it comes out. I believe it's next Friday.
Bobby's going to look that
he's
up.
He's going to look it up. But Titanfall 2 looks a lot more interesting to me, at least, than the first one, just because there's swords in this one, grappling hooks. So it looks like they really put a lot of time into fleshing it out. There's a full campaign that I've heard has a lot of interesting things in it. So that's definitely one to keep on the radar. Is anyone here looking at picking it up?
So I spend way too much money on games lately, but if I am interested in the campaign. But if it's anything like the first one, it'll drop off in price pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And whoever that analyst is that said that, I think he's thinking that it's going to suck. So
you can just talk. You don't need to raise your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's five people here, so I'm just trying to cut people out. You know?
No, just cut people off.
It's tradition to cut people off.
Right, especially okay. Bobby.
So this is one of those podcasts.
Yeah.
All right. My little brother was, I guess he's like one of 300 people that still plays Titanfall 1.
Oh, okay.
You know, and seriously, like, so he actually stayed with me this summer And I watched him. He brought his Xbox over. And I watched him spend 30 minutes waiting to find a match.
I'm not
30 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
And because there's 300 people playing Xbox, you know, like.
Yeah. And so, can you play this without? Can you play this non?
No, Titanfall 1. I think you can play bot matches. So I actually put a decent amount of time into Titanfall 1, but I blocked most of it from memory. but most of it, even the quote unquote single player campaign is online.
Wait, you put a lot of time into it, but you didn't like it?
No,
it's terrible, just for hours and hours.
One of those situations where I bought it because one of my friends sucks at Battlefield, so he bought Titanfall and liked it a lot more.
I don't remember that.
This was years ago.
I thought you were talking about me.
No, not you. Battlefield 4 era.
That sucks.
And so I bought it like just to kind of, you know, so we could have something to play together. And so I played it with him, but no, I never really enjoyed it. I just kind of suffered through it for him because I'm a good friend sometimes.
So you guys talked about this a couple weeks ago. So we got your three, right? You, Chi, and Bobby. You guys talked about it.
Austin, what do you think? Yeah. You been picking this up or what?
For what?
Are you going to be picking this up?
Titanfall 2?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
You don't buy a lot of games, huh?
I get stuck.
Is it
on
Arma 3?
If it's not called Arma 3, then
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Is it Arma 3? Then no.
All right,
and that's a no for me, by the way.
Yeah, that's. I think I said it last week. I'm going to stick with a no.
Yeah.
Titanfall 2.
Maybe if it comes out and it's super fantastic, everybody's playing.
It's been getting kind of panned, though, I think, too.
You know what's...
So the reviews I've seen have been good, but when you put a shooter between Battlefield 1 and Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Like, you can't really expect good sales from that.
You know, I guess Titanfall, the original one, was innovative for its time. But true. if you put Titanfall 2 next to Infinite Warfare, they look like the same game. You know, all the running around and jumping on walls and shit like that, that's... Yeah. Nowadays, that's Call of Duty. You know?
When they're the thing that's driving sales for me personally, like why I'm buying all these things, is Discord. I'm seeing all these people. Like, I can actively see what everybody's playing.
Very true.
Like, I want to be part of you guys too. So then I just pick it up. And so if everybody's on Discord and they're playing Titanfall 2, then there it is.
Well, you convinced me to buy Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
So.
And did you have fun?
Huh?
Well, he's we'll talk about it. Yeah. We'll talk about it later. That brings up a good point. Join our Discord channel. The Discord channel's on our
Steam page.
Yes.
Next up is Space Hulk Deathwing. So I believe this is a Left 4 Dead 2 / Vermintide version.
Oh, sweet.
Of Warhammer 40K. I believe you play as four different Space Marines. And what are you killing?
You're killing gene stealers.
Oh, nice.
Which are...
They look like the aliens.
No. Similar. Those are the Tyranids, right? So the gene stealers are more akin to the Dead Space monsters, right? Because they're mutated humans.
They're like zombies?
No. They're fast. Like.
Oh, okay.
You know, just they look
mutated
like
monsters.
The Dead Space ones. Yeah, they're mutated humans.
The scariest thing
weaponized
imaginable.
And stuff like that. Yeah, and they're terrifying looking, but you play as the Space Marines. Looks like they're different classes. It looks like a lot of fun.
Looks cool.
Good horde mode. And I really like the art style. It's very 40K. There's a lot of gothic architecture, cathedrals, and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to it.
And do you play as Space Marines, Chaos Marines?
Space Marines.
Space Marines, yeah. Okay.
That was my big complaint. We were talking about this yesterday. And the lore is so rich and dense, and they always pick the Space Marines.
Yeah.
I want to play as a Tyranid or somebody else or just once, you know? It's just like it never happens. I guess maybe because they're the only ones who speak English. I have no idea. Anyway, this is bot. Done.
Yeah.
Already done. The number one game, as Chaz says, hey, do you guys want to co-op? Let's come over. Fucking nobody will play Vermintide with me.
The Vermintide was fun, but it's fun with four people.
Yeah, you need people.
Yeah.
I don't have any people.
Play with me. And it looks like from the trailer, it also looks like there is location-based damage, right? Because the Space Marines wear something called Terminator armor, just huge suits of armor. And it looks like in the UI there's going to be location-based damage. So say your right hand gets injured, maybe you can't use that weapon or something like that. So it looks like there's going to be a little bit... more depth.
It looks kind of like
Vermintide.
It looks kind of like the mechs, you know, where they've got the thing on the side that shows the damage and it shows the different arms.
Yeah, exactly.
Really good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So
it kind of reminds me of Starship Troopers when you're talking about location-based damage.
Yeah.
Where they're, what they say, shoot the legs.
Yeah.
So hopefully different bad guys, you shoot them in different places.
Well, so I'm sitting here looking at this video of Space Hulk Deathwing on the Steam page, and it, like, it reminds me a lot of like Killing Floor.
Yep. Yeah. Bobby's big into Killing Floor.
Killing Floor, they come to you, right?
Yeah, I was. I don't know if you know.
It's a way of survival, so you just hold out as long as you can. This, I'm guessing, is more like Vermintide or Left 4 Dead, where you are actually pushing your way through a map as opposed to just holding out and just surviving each wave.
Austin, you ever played one of these?
I bought Killing Floor 2. And I played it for 15 minutes.
Yeah. But then he realized that it wasn't the Arma 3 expansion that he thought it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, yeah.
I was talking about Left 4 Dead 2.
Maybe me and Bobby will play, maybe. I don't know.
Did you ever play a Left 4 Dead or a Vermintide?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's...
I never played Vermintide. I've never heard of that game before.
Oh, it's okay. Awesome.
It's really good. Yeah, actually, good ironically, game. Another 40K game, right?
I believe it's the same. The Games Workshop is the dev.
So 40K is actually really funny, dude, because, like, I've never played the tabletop. I think I've actually never played a 40K video game, right? Mm. But I have spent more than 40 hours on the fucking wiki.
Yeah, dude, reading the lore.
You know, just reading the lore and just
it's
like...
It's a whole unit.
Like, oh, dude.
We climbed the mountain, half of the mountain. He was talking to me about the Space 40K Marines, lore, second heart.
This is a mountain in real life that you climbed.
Yeah.
To actually climb the mountain. Anyway, so everybody's excited about this, yeah?
Yeah, it looks cool. Looks good.
And for $39.99, I feel like that's a decent price for it on sale for $33.99.
I might pre-order this.
Austin, I don't know what it is, but at some point, Games Workshop was like,
Fuck it, you can all do it.
Everybody can have the license.
Yeah. So like, who wants a license? You want a license.
Last year, it's like 20 games.
Yeah, man. It's like every month there's a new 40K game coming out.
So it's exciting for fans and just casuals.
Especially because I also feel like the quality of the games is staying pretty high.
It's getting better.
Yeah, man. It's exciting.
Good stuff. So, Star Citizen.
Here we are. We were finally after.
You're taking Bobby's job here. What are you doing?
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll allow it.
Okay.
After listening to the podcast for a long time, and even other podcasts, you know, I'm like Bobby, I'll admit, I listen to other podcasts about gaming, and there's a lot of info around Star Citizen, and so I just wanted to have a little discussion on Star Citizen, what it's about, what is currently in the game, what is coming, what has been shown, things like that, because I think this is a really seminal game for the PC. Not only in terms of kind of the scope and the scale, but just, you know, also how the game is created. You know, they've raised more than a triple-A budget just from backers who believe in the vision that Chris Roberts, who is the head of Cloud Imperium Games, the developer. And so that's why I think it's really interesting. So, you know...
Can I ask you some questions?
Yeah, go for it. I was going to say, even though I'm a backer... And I, of course, want the game to succeed. I think even if this game somehow fails, it doesn't come to fruition, the impact that it's going to have on this industry is going to be felt for a long time, you know, regardless of if it succeeds or not. Not only because of the tech that they've created just for this game, but also that you can see, if you can wake up kind of sleeping demographics of people, you can really do a lot. So, yeah, let's get into a discussion.
I was trying to explain this to a non-gamer. I think it's the greatest undertaking in video game history. Maybe. Possibly.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say from a technical standpoint, I mean, I think it goes back to things like the jump from 2D to 3D, right? Yeah. How much of an impact that had.
Yeah.
And then you look at this, and the technical undertaking on the back end is just insane from... You know, that standpoint. And I think that's why some people don't quite appreciate the gravity of what they're doing, because on the front end, you know, you're first person, you go out of a space station, you get in a ship, you fly down to a planet. To you, that's like, of course that works. That's whatever. I'm just in my first person. Mm-hmm. Understanding, when you have more of a technical background, when you understand what's going on the back end, that becomes infinitely more impressive.
Right.
To really understand, like, oh, they had to rewrite the entire engine to be 64-bit. Oh, every single ship is a separate instance, and you have to be able to go between those instances seamlessly. Mm. Like that kind of stuff is what I really find so interesting. And that's why I think even if the game itself fails, the tech that they've created is going to get some use somewhere.
Is it a game right now?
It's absolutely a game. You can download and play it, so I'm going to go ahead and get the game stamp.
There's software that you can run.
Yes, but exactly.
Is there progression? Is that progression going to stay when the game goes live? Are you fighting things? I literally don't. I have no idea.
So let me give you a quick rundown of what is.
What would you do if you jumped into Star Citizen for 3 hours?
Okay.
What would you be doing?
So I would say there are three things to do. There are three things that I would do in that demo of that 3 hours. So one, I would hop into Arena Commander. So the way they're doing it is kind of broken out into modules, right? So if you simply want to do like an arcade style dogfighter,
right,
where you're in an arena, you know, it's a circular, you're in space, but there's, you know, kind of invisible barriers that, yeah, that form gotcha. A, you know, form a sphere. I would jump into that, and you can play. There's like Capture the Flag. There is like a horde mode where it's you and some friends against waves of enemies.
Cool.
So the AI for the pirates and enemies already in the game as far as flying goes.
Are you getting credits or money for doing
this? So you are earning in-game currency, which can then be used to rent weapons that you can then put on your ship, or you can get different shields, or you can get missile racks.
Those but not buy things. Permanently.
No, not buy permanently. So what you earn in game is all for temporary. If you want to go ahead and drop money to get, I believe they're called Star Citizen Bucks, something along those
that
lines.
That is a terrible name for currency.
It's something bucks.
No,
but it's real. It's super duper real money though. Like,
so if you're buying ships, yes. But what I'm talking about is the currency that you would use to buy. Like, okay, if I want to own a buggy in my hangar that I can put into my ship, like that's like $5, right?
Right.
But you would transfer that to the in-game paid currency before you bought the buggy. If you're talking about just buying ships,
so our friend Tom has spent.
I was gonna say he can remain nameless. But,
Oh, did I say his name? No,
it doesn't matter. There's a lot of Tom.
Yeah,
you have a Tom here.
Oh, that Tom.
Yeah.
He spent thousands of dollars in this game.
I mean, not to give away too much about him, because no one knows who he is. He's still anonymous. He's just the first name. If I do guesstimate, it would be between 25 and 30K.
Wow.
And what does he have to show for a fleet of ships, I would imagine?
Yeah, he has every goddamn ship in the game.
So he's pretty much like the Jay Leno of Star Citizen.
Yeah, right? So he has every ship in the game, and then like a few of each of those ships.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, it's to that level. So that's
why would you have like,
with insurance?
Yeah, well, yeah. And so one of the things they do, and this is a lot of people think this is a greasy practice, I personally think it's okay, is the first time a ship is offered as a concept, right? And that they're saying, hey, we're making this ship. All we have right now is concept art. But if you buy it right now, then you're going to get what we call LTI, which means lifetime insurance. Because in the real game, when it goes live, if your ship gets blown up, you have to pay for insurance. Mm.
That's like EA.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And so by buying it when it's first on sale as a concept, you are getting that lifetime insurance. That's a big incentive for a lot of people, because you're going to have to make insurance payments in the game for that ship. So that's, you're going to save yourself money and time in the eventual game. And another thing I would say, though, and this is something that's happened with the recent ship called the Starfarer that came out, is that they actually, when it was up for sale as a concept, it was much cheaper than when it eventually released, because it was, I want to say it was $190 when they first had it on concept.
$190?
Yeah, $190.
Jesus Christ.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's buku bucks, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you're talking about, they just sold something called an Idris, right? It's a large, much, much larger ship.
Into the mic, dude.
It can have multiple fighters in it. And that ship alone was a few $1,000s.
How big? Because I've played EVE before. This sounds very similar to EVE, but they have these like capital ships that are huge. Do they get that big in this game?
Yes. The largest ship in the game is not a capital ship, but that ship at this point is so large that it could be its own multiplayer FPS map.
Okay.
And that's the large ones in the game. The ones that are coming are big enough that you can be docking multiple fighters inside of them, and you still have the rest of the ship. Because they're going so hard for realism that how the ship functions needs to actually be in the ship, right? So everything is functioning. They're trying to build them like as if they were real spaceships, quote unquote.
Okay, gotcha.
We went over the logistics of docking last night. It got pretty intense.
Where two dudes put their penises
that
together?
One, yeah.
Okay.
It was crazy.
As far as I know,
this is one of those podcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as I know, that mechanic's not going to be in the game. Okay. But if you want to dock ships, I think you can do that.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that'll be in the final.
Okay.
One thing is just dogfighting.
Yeah, so one thing I would definitely say is dogfighting. And I would say the flying in this game feels really good.
And right. damage that you take in the dogfighting, is that if you have no insurance, you have to pay to fix
it? So at this point, there is no insurance. Like, the game is not live. They're not trying to bust people's balls.
Yeah.
If you die in the dogfighter mode.
25K sounds like a ball busting.
Yeah, seriously.
So, okay, but if you wanted to get in the game, you can get in the game for $40.
Okay.
You get Squadron 42, which is a single player.
Yeah.
You get Star single Citizen, player, which is...
Like a campaign?
Yeah, I believe it's like a 36 mission single player campaign.
Okay. Oh, okay. Is it good?
It's not out yet.
Oh.
Okay.
It looks good. and then, you know, Star Citizen itself will be the multiplayer component. So there are a lot of people that are just in it for the single player campaign. They don't care about a massively multiplayer universe. They just want to play a really good, flight based campaign.
Do you use single a stick? Player.
I do not. I have a stick. I just. Still
really?
Use keyboard use and mouse? No, because there are so many key bindings. So many key bindings.
Have you seen the sticks that come out? They have so many keys.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the new... So if you check on Reddit, on r/gaming, this dude just 3D printed a Delta stick.
I don't know.
If you ever, like, if a helicopter, like a Delta stick is... Go look it up.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, like that's the level. That's what we're talking. Like that's the level of the shit we're talking about. Like,
yeah, it's great. So anyway, so I would say do the dogfighting, so you can get a feel for the game. And if you want to get a little bit tricky, dive deep into the menu, because you can do things like decoupling your engine, so that you can be flying in one direction, but your ship can turn in another direction.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So cool. You can do things like reroute your shields. So if someone's behind you, just take away all the power from your weapons. Take away all the power from your front shields. Put all the back shields.
You have to manually do that?
Oh, yeah. It's manual.
I'd rather tell Siri to do it for me.
Well, on the larger ships, that's going to be something that the pilot will not do. That is a separate crew member that will be able to do that for you.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So there's an engineering position in some of the larger ships. So it gets pretty deep.
I also saw mention of a first-person shooter involved. Is that
correct?
Around?
Yes. Yeah, so that self-contained module is not out yet. It's called Star Marine. That is... "quote unquote" coming soon,
but hopefully. Unnecessary. I think. Does anybody care about this?
Well, absolutely. So in the demo little set of planets they have right now, in the little mini universe, what they're calling it, you can go to a space station and just have first person shooting, matches with other people. You can go kill other people, pick up weapons, all that kind of stuff. Eventually, that'll be its own game where it's just like a lobby shooter.
Yeah.
Like, if someone wants to play the FPS of the game, they don't want to mess with the ships, they can do that.
Yeah.
They can just, keep getting in lobbies and playing multiplayer matches. So that's not out yet.
The
scope
and the undertaking of this is
it's incredible. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's even unfair to compare to other AAA games, because people say, Battlefield came out in a few years and they were doing all this other stuff. They're not rewriting an engine from the ground up and doing something no one else has done before.
Yeah.
It's like saying, why can't they build a nuclear bomb in a year? They built, this other huge bomb in a year.
Do you play this game for three hours at a time?
Usually not. Yeah. It's something. So I personally like to just kind of dip my toe in every major update. So those come out every few months, because I like to hop in, see what's cool about it. Like, oh, man, this feature is really incredible. And then I'll get out, because I'm not trying to burn myself out on it.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But there are people that will play it every single day, and this is their main game already, and it's not even out yet.
So,
is it vaporware though? Will it ever release?
I would say
that?
Vaporware and will it ever release are two different things. Is it vaporware? No. You can download it. You can play it. You can see the progress they're making. They release about 4 videos a week about what they're doing.
Okay.
Now, will it ever release? I don't know. That's.
It could all fall apart.
Exactly. It could all fall apart. I would say it looks good. The things that.
I mean, I guess the question is, have they said how close they are to releasing it?
No, they have not. So Squadron 42 is supposed to come out at the end of this year. It is being pushed back.
Which is what again?
That's the single player
campaign, correct. That's being pushed back into next year sometime. But that will mark, I think, a huge landmark in their development. And that means they've got, serious systems finished. Like, flight systems will be done when that comes out. Like, that'll mark finishing a lot of things, and then the only thing left that they have left to worry about is things like procedurally generated planets.
So people,
the tech and things like that.
These are some people's full-time game.
this is their main game.
Yeah, what are they doing? There are people who stream this game.
I'm still not sure what they're constantly. Doing.
There are podcasts about this game.
I'm still not sure what they're doing besides dogfighting.
Okay, dogfighting. Another thing you can do is there's something called ArtCore 18, which is like a city on a planet. And you can run around the city. You can go into shops. You can buy things. You can go to the bar and do social things.
Yeah.
Drive docking. Buggies around.
Docking. Different kind of docking.
This is where the weird kind of docking comes into play. So there's stuff to do there. But what the vast majority of people do is what I would say the third thing you should do is, right? The other two are just warm-ups. The third thing is to go into the mini-universe and start doing quests. So they already have a quest system in-game.
Okay.
What happens when you start this up is you wake up in a little hotel room, we'll call it. It's more like a little pod.
Missing a kidney.
With a bed in it. Possibly missing a kidney. In a space suit. You're on a space station.
Gotcha.
Just hovering above a huge planet. You go down to a console. You order a ship. It says, okay, go to, docking pad B09. And you follow the little signs. You go through an airlock, and you're out in space.
Order a ship. Order one of your ships.
Order one of your ships, correct.
If you buy the $40 game and you don't get a ship.
No, you do get a ship. I believe you get a Mustang, yes.
Okay, cool.
Which is a starter ship, but it's not bad.
Yeah, and you can do these quests with it.
It's like, yeah, you can do
like
these quests
Eve, with it. Like your first ship isn't bad.
No, yeah, it's not a terrible ship.
Austin really wants to talk.
Yeah.
No, so, hey, so I'm like, so you're not here, but I'm like raising my hand because, again, there's five people here.
Yeah.
So my question is, so as someone who recently got into Arma, have they ever made any announcements about mods and stuff?
Yes, because
I write software, and so mods, I mean, maybe gamers take those for granted, mods, but like
Amelia masturbates about mods specifically.
He probably masturbates to like Skyrim mods.
One of the best things about PC gaming.
But like think about when you write software though, like adding the ability to mods, like you have to. It's not just like a you
from the outside. This seems like an unmoddable game.
That's what I'm saying.
I was actually to the contrary. Chris Roberts, he made a name for himself in PC games,
right?
And he knows that's a huge thing. So from day one, they have said there will be full mod support.
Wow!
So this, he said this, from day one.
Shit. From day one, he said there'd be full mod support.
When is
Thomas,
seriously. Like MMOs, the mods for MMOs are usually UIs. And
true. UIs, people will be able to spin up their own servers.
Oh, really? I see, and
yes,
do whatever
correct,
they want.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Okay. That is super sick, actually.
Yeah.
I'm already in for $40 just talking to Lab Monkey right now. Today.
I mean, and bought this.
No,
he's borrowed my account. Access. He's borrowed Mobius's.
I just haven't played it. Well. Thank you.
Shout out to Mobius.
Shout out to Mobius. Yeah. Hey, man.
Hey, we do the shout outs around here.
Yeah.
I think he deserves a few shout outs for this.
Hey, Bobby. So, what do you think about Star Citizen, Bobby?
I think regardless if it succeeds or fails, whatever you think that is, it's a step in the right direction or a new direction. And, they're pioneering something here. And I think they're building, I think I said this last time we talked about it, they're building like the base work for something new and grand. So whatever they do with it at this point, something will come of it. Whether it is they finish this game and it's amazing, whether they don't and somebody else takes it in another direction. I mean, I think it's exciting. I don't personally have any interest in a game like this, though. I play a lot of HOTS.
I was going to say because it's not HOTS, right?
Yeah. Is it? I don't listen to your podcast a lot, but is there like a time to HOTS in this podcast?
Like, whenever Bobby's talking, there's always a time.
How
to
long
HOTS.
Has it been? Like, how long has it been?
Yeah, is it longer than usual.
Yeah, we hit it pretty early. But every time I hear about Star Citizen, I'm reminded of Ready Player One, because I feel like this game is not a game. It's building a universe, and in this universe, you are just allowed to do whatever you want, whether it be a game, whether it be social, whatever that may be. So, I don't know. It's exciting.
What's your thoughts about it, Chad? I mean, $40. Right?
I have two thoughts. One, $190 for a ship is...
Doesn't stop there.
Yes. However much they're
asking. He said the biggest one is thousands?
Yo. R.I.P. Tom, dude. $30,000.
Can you...
He is single because his wife would not have let him spend that money.
Can you build up in-game currency and buy any ship in the game, potentially?
Yes. No. Yes. So everything can be bought in-game. This is, and it has been said a million times, it has been said to death, that the people that are buying these ships fully well know that they're buying these ships to support development. You can get everything in game. Okay, if you have, I mean, so Tom is one guy, right? We have an organization of 8 people. There's not enough of us in the entire organization to man one of his ships. Unless we're manning the fighters. The capital ships take 30 people to man.
They're just sitting in.
I mean, they will eventually just sit. Yeah. So he's just going to rent them out. He can't fly.
Oh, you can rent
100.
Them?
Yeah, he can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Chris Roberts should come blow Tom.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, yeah. It's a drop in the bucket on the millions that they've made on this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're up to, I believe, 130 million now.
My concern with this game is I like directioned gameplay. Like, I like to know that I'm achieving something that then I can turn around and achieve something greater, then I can achieve something greater.
Well, it's an MMO at heart, right?
No, but it's not, because does it have a leveling up system? Does it have end game? Does it have, like, is there something to accomplish, or is it...
Is it World of Warcraft? Well, is what we're really asking.
So, Chad, what you're saying is that you did not enjoy No Man's Sky?
No, I love No Man's Sky.
He actually really liked it.
Because it had a point.
So I think one of the differences between No Man's Sky...
No, it's fine.
I think one of the differences between No Man's Sky and Star Citizen is, right, No Man's Sky, you get to the center of the galaxy, and it just fucking trolls you and sends you to another galaxy that's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Whereas with Star Citizen...
Somebody got to the center?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah, it takes 30 hours to get to the center.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It doesn't take that much. You take black holes.
So someone sat on their home planet until they had grinded out the best gear. They didn't have to leave the planet they started on.
Wow.
To be able to get the gear to go to the center of the galaxy.
I thought that was going to take... We're not sure if anybody's ever going to make it to the center.
Well, so here's the joke, is that you get to the center of the galaxy, and you just keep doing it over and over again, and it just sends you to new galaxies. It is like a long con.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they go out of business, I want to see the title. Like, I want to see on the, like, all the Kotaku and shit. Hello Games says goodbye.
That'd be a good one. Boom.
The jokes.
The point is, that's what I'm worried about with Star Citizen, is I don't know...
So it is very much, and I think
Eve, you're looking to buy bigger and bigger ships.
Correct. So this is
like, is the thing?
I think that's a very apt comparison, because in Star Citizen, the main thing is organizations. You know, even before we had the mini universe like we do now, where you can get in ships, you have a quest system, you can go kill pirates, you can, you know, go search, you know, abandoned space stations and try to find things. You can go search derelict ships.
Foot. All
on foot. You can fly in the middle of space, get out of your ship, and float around in space if you want to. So, I think the main driver in the end game when it comes out, and of course this is all speculation. There's a huge caveat there, is that it's all going to be organization based. So if you want to go by yourself and you want to be an explorer, or you want to be a miner, or whatever, go for it. And you can work your way up to the biggest ship in your profession and go from there. But I think a lot of the really interesting stuff is going to be the type of Eve stuff that we see, which is someone blew
corporations.
You know, exactly. You know, someone blew $10 million of, you know, real money.
But these are all
was actually in-game money, correct? But I'm just saying, you know, in Eve they always convert it, because you can convert, you know, playtime, right? So I think you're going to see the same kind of stories about Star Citizen, where organizations just have gigantic clashes and just lose all these ships. And I think that's really where you're going to go, right? It's your mind is on the money, your money is on the mind.
I still wish there'd be like alien invasion you got to dispel. You
know. Dude, they're going to have
so I would say if you want to do
the
that.
Legion would come down, yeah. The Burning Legion.
Gul'dan would come in. And make,
they have so you're going to have story arcs. It's an MMO.
Correct, yeah.
You played Eve, though.
Yeah.
So I've never installed Eve in my entire whole life. But again, I just will troll the wiki for hours.
Yeah, dude.
I read about the wars they've had and stuff like that. And the fact that, like, you know, when they have these giant-ass wars where the servers actually slow down to, like, one tick per minute.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And it's like slow motion. And, you know, and there's... What's the statistic? There's a huge war, and they lost some thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars in one war, you know? It's like... But, like, that's the meta, dude. Like, you set up the simulation, and... From there, it just kind of like
crazy.
Takes up from there. You
takes
know?
A life of its own.
Exactly. You know, it's the same way that the developers of Eve Online, like they have economists on staff full time, because it is fully player driven. And I think Star Citizen will have a little bit more structure, because there are definitely people that want to play by themselves, and there will be, you know, you can go down to planets, you know, fine, just have missions pop up, because they're going to have some procedurally generated missions, some are going to be handcrafted, things like that. Obviously, we won't know until the end. I think that is a very valid concern.
Here's a random question, bringing back to just the game itself. I've seen the videos. Are the graphics, like, superb? Or, like, where would you rank them? And by the time this game comes out, will they be dated?
That is a really good question.
It's pretty cinematic. Eyes can't see past 24 frames.
Yeah, so anything above 24 is a waste anyway. So they lock it to 24 now. That's a lie. Do not believe that. So right now, it looks really fantastic. And it also feels really well optimized, because they started with CryEngine and have gutted it to the point where it's now called Star Engine, because they actually poached the people that created CryEngine and have completely rewritten the back end to work for this game. But it looks fantastic. Right now, though, if you play in the mini universe, because of the amount of things going on, you're probably not going to get more than 30 frames, because it is server bound at this point. They're in the process of rewriting the netcode, because there's no netcode that has had to deal with things like this before. So they're rewriting it. So right now, the frames will be that great. But if you play like a single player, you'll get a solid 60, and it does look really good.
Thomas, it sounds to me like, what if this thing gets pulled off, you're going to be proud to say that I was part of that.
Oh, absolutely. That's I've paid about $200, and I don't know how much more I'll put in. Depends on if a ship that I want goes on sale.
I'm going to take 1,000 for four-star citizen,
put
Alex.
Put in bets. Go for it if you'd like to. But no, if I lose that $200, I would not be upset.
Yeah. So
this is money that I put in because I really want to see this succeed, and I really want Chris Roberts to just redefine how we think of a game. Especially, this is a PC game.
Yeah.
I remember a bunch of people freaked out because they saw PS4 dev kits in the back of one of their videos, and Chris Roberts said, like, they're constantly trying to court me. Like, Sony is trying to get them to see if they can put this on a PS4. He said, we're not going to do it. If it compromises the experience, we're not going to do it. And that's why they've only continued on with PC support, because I really think that, like, this is for us PC gamers. And I think that's another reason why I really want this to succeed.
Yeah.
To wrap this up, let's go around and say who's going to buy and who's going to participate. Austin, where are you at on the...
So I actually had no interest in Star Citizen whatsoever.
Until now.
You know, I would laugh at Tom. Like, he's like we're talking about, $25,000, $30,000.
I still laugh at Tom.
I laugh at him, too. He's ridiculous. He's my friend from high school. Anyway.
You know what? Fuck Tom.
Hey,
I'm joking.
That's my butt.
You know, one day you're going to need to rent a ship from him.
I thought we were shitting on Tom.
Me and Emilio are fighting right now.
Like, sorry, I misread what was going on. Okay.
I just like hit him across the face right now. It's getting rowdy in here. But I started playing Arma 3. And
you played Arma 3?
Now we need to have a time to Arma 3.
I mean, I got to get this out. I got to admit.
Hold on, podcasters. So you know why there's a big reaction every time he says Arma 3. I've been inundated with nonstop Arma 3 talk for 3 days. You can hear my voice. This is for me saying, stop talking about Arma 3. That's why. So anyway.
All right. Let's talk about Arma 3.
Yeah, I guess. All right,
bring it back to Arma 3.
So this is definitely a good segue because I'll admit this to the public. I bought a head tracking rig.
Yeah.
For Arma 3. So if you've never played Arma 3, you can move your head independent of your gun or wherever you're looking. If you're flying a helicopter.
Oh, okay.
You can move. Like, if you're flying a helicopter.
Explain what this looks like. I don't even know what one of those looks like.
So you're flying a helicopter.
No.
You guys have all flown a helicopter.
What does the rig look like?
Physically, in your room. Yeah. How does this work?
Okay. So, yeah, we'll break it down from there.
You have a bindi on your forehead?
No. So you have... So the one I bought...
Yeah.
There's a thing called the Track IR. Actually, let me do this. I don't know if you can edit this out. There's this thing called a Track IR, right?
Yeah.
It's a $200 rig plus another $50 for the whole setup, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Where it's just like you go on Amazon.com, you buy this thing where it's like, it's three LEDs.
And so you got
a... And so you have an IR camera hooked up, like a webcam, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby's looking it up right now.
Yeah, Track IR. So, and the deal is those three LEDs on you clip it to the side of your headphones on your, gaming rig. Yeah, like that guy. You guys can't see
that guy's
it.
So cool.
Plays yeah. really well on a
hey,
podcast.
Is that the guy from the video we just watched?
So anyway, the point is, so there's three LEDs clipped onto the side of your headphones, and a camera on your computer, like a webcam, tracks the location such that, like, you know, in, I don't know, in traditional FPSs, you know, you move with your mouse.
Yeah.
In games like Star Citizen and Arma, your gun is pointing one direction, and your head can point in any direction you want.
Gotcha.
And so we're
back to Star Citizen.
Well, so Star Citizen has the track IR, you know, it's got the IR thing.
Right.
Well, the shout out I wanted to get to was, so track IR is $300 for the whole setup.
Right.
Okay.
These dudes in England literally started 3D printing and soldering the same thing, same deal with open source software.
Yeah.
The whole thing, and it uses a PS3, you know, the PS3 motion capture camera?
Yeah.
What's that called?
MotionEye.
Yeah.
MotionEye. And they started using it, right? Whole thing cost $30.
Nice. What?
Sorry. £30, which is like 45 US.
Wow.
Okay.
It's probably less than that with the exchange.
And I bought it, and I'm going to get it in the mail here soon.
Take that, big head-tracking farmer.
Yeah. So it's well, edit it out or not, it's called Track Hat.
Yeah.
It's a big thing with Arma because people they're always like, there's the dudes who paid for Track IR, and they're all like, this is the best. And the people who are like, with Track Hat, they're like, it's the same thing. But then people who like paid $300, they're like, it'll never compare.
Yeah.
But like, I literally went on GitHub and I looked at their code, and it's legit, dude.
Which one do you have? You have the
Track Hat.
Yeah, the cheaper one.
Well, $45 US. Yeah.
Right. So you're more interested in Star Citizen because they have native, they'll support this.
Well, so definitely that's all cool and stuff. I mean, that's a whole deal with flight simulators in general, right? But just Arma, like, I don't know, I never was exposed to like a simulation game.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got into that, it's so open-ended. I just have these like set piece moments and stuff. That it made me realize, like, holy shit, like, so Arma's like, it's kind of shit software, really. And then, like, Star Citizen, like, they're so open about their development process, and it's, you know, like, I admire them, and it's like, if you could even do, like, a 1.5x on the Arma, you know, stuff, you would be so far ahead, you know, and like, Thomas, they're like, I mean, goddamn, I mean, what they have going on is just so insane. Yeah,
especially the back end, the procedural generation technology, the fact that there's no view distance. View distance does not exist in
Star Citizen, right?
You know, planets are, so you have like a normal, like, you know, 10 square kilometer map in a game. It's flat, right? In Star Citizen, they had to rewrite all of this because everything is curved because it's planets.
Yeah.
They had to totally rewrite that. No one had done that before. You know, the atmosphere is just generated on the fly. Right, if you're in dev mode, if you're like in debug mode, and you just fly up and down on the far side of a planet, you can see the sunset as you get. It just naturally happens because it's calculating all real time, so I think that sandbox element is also exciting people that like games like Arma.
To get back to Emilio's question, are you interested in Star Citizen?
The short version.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, absolutely. Like, okay. It's. You know, I don't know. I didn't quite, you know, I didn't understand at all. Like, I literally thought Tom was insane. He still is. He's insane. Well, no. So let's be clear. Tom is insane.
Okay.
But now I kind of understand. Because, like, I'm literally, you know, I pay for an Arma. I pay for, private servers and stuff like that.
So you're a little crazy on Arma, is what you're saying.
And it's like, okay. And it's like, I can only imagine if... And like Arma is like, I mean, that game runs like shit, you know. And it's like I can imagine if this game was just perfect, like Star Citizen is supposed to be, you know.
Okay, so that's so
yes or no. I'm still confused.
It's a yes. A resounding yes.
I still have no interest in Star Citizen. I'm sorry, I just don't.
Yeah, it's not going to be for everyone.
Thomas,
you don't like Arma at all.
No, because I think it's. I think for the same reason
I heard the code is shit.
Yeah, I think it lacks what Star Citizen, even now in a beta phase, the it just feels a lot smoother. The animation is better. Arma feels really, really janky. There's just something about Arma that I don't like the way it feels, and I think Star Citizen fixed that a little bit. And so that's why, personally, I'm into Star Citizen, but not really into Arma. I also really like space and flying ships around, things like that. So I like the idea of Arma. I just don't enjoy Arma's execution.
And like, and so I guess, I mean, it's probably fair to say that if you're listening to this podcast, you have at least heard of Arma by name. I know I did. I'm not even.
I'm a little confused how Arma got related into Star Citizen.
Because they're both very much sandbox simulation games.
Is Arma really a sandbox?
Oh, absolutely.
Like you can hang out there and sell stuff on the market.
Yeah. And well, so
I thought it was a first person shooter.
So it's more like they give you the tools to do what you want, and then people make incredible things out. So there's
An MMO.
Correct. There's a version of Arma called Arma 3 Exile, right? You like start off
like DayZ.
Yeah, you like start off in a prison. Gotcha. And you have to go level up and get loot and do quests. Like, it's the things you can do with it are incredible.
And there's also Zeus mode, which is like, yeah,
it's
DM.
Like D&D.
But this is a little different because Arma's open world is about modding. Star Citizen isn't about modding.
No, they're full mod support. We covered that already.
They will, but...
No, but what I'm saying is Arma 3, you get it out of the box, it's not going to be an MMO. You have to go download a mod or whatever.
Well, you go to the server, right? Yeah. Or is there a mod?
Yeah, you show up at a server, and you're like, I want to play Exile, or I want to play King of the Hill.
Chad, it's kind of like, remember those Counter-Strike maps?
Counter-Strike.
Yeah, surfing, you know, surfing and shit like that.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's the same deal.
Okay.
So let's get back on point. So Austin, interested. Chad, still not for him. That's totally fine. I'm, of course, interested. Amelia, how about you?
Bot, I love everything.
Okay. Bobby?
Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
Well, $40? You don't think I'm going to spend $40?
I think I'll spend $40. I just don't know if we play it.
Oh. Yeah.
No, hold on. Caveat. Don't know if he'll play it for more than like 30 minutes. Yeah.
Personally, I think that...
Play it for 2 hours, come back, and tell us all about it.
Personally, I think that Chad... I think Chad is... This is going to be his next World of Warcraft.
It's not. Because, like I said, I need direction. I need something.
He just said there's quests and progression.
So Chad.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, before we move on, we'll move on here.
Okay.
So I know everybody has heard of Arma by name as being a gamer, right? It's a thing.
Yeah.
The deal is like every single fucking map on Arma is like 3 times the size of the GTA 5 map.
Okay.
So it's like, that's what you're working with, like from the baseline. And then, so you can talk about Star Citizen, which is a fucking universe with procedurally generated stuff. It's like, it is just.
But see, that's the whole thing. Like, I don't want everything.
Dude, quests.
I would rather have a tiny ass map that I love the shit at. Like Heroes of the Storm. The maps are not big, but they are very focused,
concise.
And the entertainment is fun in the 15 minutes, 30 minutes. And then, so, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, too much stuff is not a good thing for me. That's a bad thing.
For the folks listening at home,
I just have no interest.
I will come back to San Diego, and we'll have a three-hour podcast on Arma 3.
Yes.
So I'm going to quit talking about this shit right now. Okay. But, like, you... So
I would be more interested in Arma right now than Star Citizen.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm buying it, Jeff.
Because the thing is, you know, 3 times the size of a GTA 5 map.
That's a lot.
After you play enough, you realize you know every inch of that map.
Chad, I watched a competitive match of Arma. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. All right,
Bobby, you didn't answer.
I think I'm with Chad on this one. More interested in Arma than Star Citizen. I think I own Arma 3, and I don't think I've ever played it.
You played Arma 2, right?
Yeah.
Thomas, does it break your heart when you hear this?
No, it's that's totally fine. Not everyone has to like every game.
I bought Arma for Thomas.
Yeah, that's all.
Actually, Tom bought Tom the Tom. The
crazy Tom. Still, he's crazy. So
crazy. Crazy Uncle Tom. Oh, shit. Anyway, damn it.
You really walked into that one, bro.
I walked right into that one. Straight. That was a lead shot. Anyway, Tom, he bought me Arma at QuakeCon.
Yep.
Where I met Bobby. And then I like reciprocally bought Arma for Thomas's.
Oh, so nice.
All right, let's go.
Yep,
let's
moving on.
Or Bobby, do you want to move the show on?
Oh,
sorry.
I guess I will. You know, because I'm holding the mic here. So let's move into highlights and lowlights. Who wants to kick this off?
I want to hear about Chad's trip. I think he should kick it off.
Okay. I had all this stuff that I was going to talk about, but knowing that we're already 40 minutes into this, I'm going to just keep it tight.
I've already played Star Citizen more than I've played like, some other games just from the conversation.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Star Citizen have taken up more time in my life than a lot of other games.
So I went I went with my girl to Tokyo and the Philippines. I'm just going to keep it. I had a blast. I did. I surfed with, I mean, I swam with whale sharks, had a bunch of good food in Tokyo, went to a wedding, wore a traditional barong. That was all well and good. I'm going to talk about the video game side of it. Two things I noticed on my trip. In Tokyo, everybody's riding the trains. The trains is like the main mode of transportation. They obviously they have roads that you can drive on, but a lot of people take the trains. The trains are super quiet. Everybody is on their phone, and they are playing mobile games nonstop. The two
everyone.
That
I, guys and girls, yeah. Everyone.
The two that they're either chatting with people or playing video games. I didn't see anybody doing work or anything like that on the trains.
See any samurai?
No, we did see people dressed traditionally when I went.
Oh, really?
When I went to a shrine, but. The two games that I saw the majority of were Sumsum, the game that I played way back in the day, mm-hmm. And Pokemon Go. So that was what I saw a majority. But we also went to an arcade in Tokyo at Electric Town. How do you say that? Akihabara. There you go. And had a good time. We played a Pokemon Battle Arena game. It was fun. Me and her. She actually did decently, but she lost. But
so someone can lose to Chad.
Yeah, it's possible. You just have to be my girlfriend. But then when I got to the Philippines, I was expecting not a whole lot of game playing, but I saw almost more game playing when I got to the Philippines. You know, they don't necessarily have the money that a lot of people in Tokyo do. But their phones are very important to them, and I saw a ton of mobile games. They talked a lot about consoles, but they talked more PC, and I was surprised because
what?
PCs are expensive. You know, like I talked to a couple people that they said, yeah, they're getting parts in, they're doing stuff, and when I told them I had a PC gaming podcast, they were super excited, and I was really surprised. So based on my trip, I didn't actually get a chance to play a whole lot of games for like 2 weeks, but I did play, I downloaded some mobile games and I gave a lot of them some go. So that's what a lot of these are coming up. I just want to point out Heroes of Order and Chaos. Bobby, can you look that up while I talk about it? This is a full on MOBA. Like not even, there's no concession. There's no concession to the mobile. This is a full on MMO.
MOBA, you mean?
Yeah, MOBA. I'm sorry. Three lanes, 5v5, abilities, cooldowns, ultimates, all this stuff.
Smoke shows.
Yeah. That's Bobby's.
Jeez.
artful assassin.
You know. Yeah. So being in the room, Bobby typed in H E. And it just automatically auto-completed Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He was triggered.
If you do H-E in on Amiyos, it comes up something completely different.
He-she's.
Yeah, it's he-she's.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to play this because this is a full... I played it, but not as much as I wanted to because it's a full MOBA, and you're going to be playing 30-minute matches if you're playing...
This looks like...
Yeah,
this a looks PC. Like League of Legends.
Yeah, it looks
better graphics than League of Legends.
But you can see on the right, the left and right, the buttons on the right. Mm-hmm. So you can either point to where you want to go, or it's got a virtual keyboard or virtual joystick on the right hand side. So I didn't know something like this was.
I had no idea
existed.
Not a full on one.
Yeah,
I knew there was like the pseudo ones that are a lot more. Akin
more like Battle Right.
Battle Right. Yeah. A lot more. Yeah. So is it good?
So I've only played a game and a half because honestly,
Rage quit.
Honestly, I didn't have a good enough connection in most of my trip to be able to play.
How long was your first game?
I think it was about 30 minutes, I believe, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think the girl in green is really cute, but she's too old.
Yeah. She's like 14. So this was a game. So if you're interested in MOBAs and online and mobile, like I said, I didn't know this was around, so maybe this is something you want to give a go. This is called Heroes of Order and Chaos. So that was one of the games that this was actually being played in the Philippines. I was watching people play this, and
this is very impressive.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
And it's from a company called Gamesloft. Do we know?
Yeah, Gamesloft? Yeah, Gamesloft.
Yeah,
is big.
They're a very prolific mobile developer.
Okay,
yeah.
So I thought I had known them, and they had done some other stuff, but this is one I hadn't seen before.
Cool.
So, the other games that I played. So I was looking up just free games that had good ratings, and there was one called Smile Incorporated, which had like a 4.9 on Android. And it's basically a game where you try to run and try to avoid obstacles to see how far you can get.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lick of fun. I don't know how the fuck it got 4.9. So do not
kind
try.
Kind of a temple run?
Kind of, but it's isometric. It's isometric. But anyways, I'm going to move on from that because it was not fun for me. The third one that I played was called Infinite Loop. This is kind of just like a brain teaser. It uses the infinite symbol instead of writing out infinite loop. So, I don't know. It was fun. It was free. It's just kind of brain teaser.
Puzzles?
You have to form a full circle, not looper, Bobby loop. Bobby's trying to figure this out.
Typing one-handed here.
Typing one-handed.
There's also a game called Infinity Loop.
There's also a concept called Infinite.
So like these blue and green ones that you see, this is kind of what you try to do. But each of these little sections
spins. To complete a circuit?
Spins. So you got to just kind of spin them until you can match them all up. And they've got either one connection, two connections, three connections, or four connections. So you got to spin them until you figure it out. It's not one of those games that you win or lose because eventually you'll figure out the pattern.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of fun to try to see. There's one that's like mixed up. You can see them mixed up there. That's how they start off, and
so
then
it's
they
like
eventually
a good one while you're taking a shit.
Yeah, it is. It is very nice. I used to play Sudoku while I'm taking a shit, so then now I'm playing this.
Cool.
And the last one, Emilio, you have played this some, was Plants vs. Zombies Mobile.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of the franchise. Well, the first game, the other ones can all suck it, except for this one. This one's actually pretty good. It's a free download, and it's a card game, basically. You're playing Hearthstone. Maybe.
It's a laned Hearthstone.
Yeah.
It's five lanes. Three are neutral. One is raised and one is in water.
And you also have characters just like Hearthstone that with their own special abilities.
Yeah.
Not like Hearthstone.
Plants vs. Zombies Heroes is actually what it's called. Plants vs. Zombies Heroes.
Yeah. It's based on like the plants and the zombies got superpowers. It's fun. It's fun and it's free and I haven't felt the need to spend any money.
Yep. Yeah, it's just fun. It's well made, and it's just a nice game to fuck around with.
Is this better than the Clash of Clans one? Not Clash of Clans, but
I was liking that one. I liked that one too. I had to delete it because I needed space on my phone for a while, so yeah. I had to delete it. So I haven't reinstalled it. But you know, yeah. Go ahead.
So did you guys ever play StarCraft originally?
Yeah.
So do you remember Sunken Defense?
Do you remember how much StarCraft is like Arma 3?
Sunken Defense. I do not
you
know.
Son of a bitch.
So Bobby?
Like,
no, the original StarCraft?
Yeah.
No, I did not play that.
All right, well, being that, so I've literally been waiting my entire life for...
What was Sunken Defense, though?
You know, it was a tower defense game.
Okay.
You guys have played tower defense game. Yeah. And like, I know there's some dude listening to the podcast right now going like, Sunken Defense! Like, yeah. Okay! Anyway, the... I've just been waiting for a standalone game. It's exactly like that. Just dropped off the fucking map. Like I even booted up Brood War, and I tried to play Sunken Defense, and there were no servers. There,
what was the tower defense game that you guys were playing? Well, there was the Dungeon Defender.
Orcs Must Die was one I played.
Dungeon Defenders 2 was another one. That was good.
Defenders.
No, what was the one that was like kind of aliens and stuff? And there was a first version and a second version, and you also were able to shoot.
The one where you build your tower defense and then you actually go into first person mode and then you defend against that.
Yeah, what was
I mean,
that
that's one? What Orcs Must Die and Orcs Must Die 2 is, but there was another one that was really popular. I played a little bit and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Is it Sanctum?
Yeah, Sanctum.
Yeah, yeah.
Sanctum was another really good one, and that was like one where the game was so good, and I was like, why don't I play this more? But I don't know.
If I don't know
because HOTS exists.
If you know what I'm talking about, please email Bobby or email one of these dudes and tell me what game I need to be playing right now. Like,
is this a shout out for help?
I need help, dude. This is from 1999, dude.
Okay. Like,
so you're looking for a game that is just identical to Sunken Defense and the original StarCraft?
Yes.
All right. There's got to be one out
What's
there.
What's that have to do with Plants vs. Zombies?
It's Tower Defense.
Oh, this one, the original Plants vs. Zombies is, this one is a card game. This one's like more similar to...
We're talking about me right now.
Oh, my bad.
This is all about me right now.
My bad.
Bobby, just disconnect that mic and... but Chad, do you think that... I mean, because the card game space is getting just absolutely saturated.
Not on phones.
Do you think that there's any reason to play this as opposed to something like...
Like a Hearthstone?
Hearthstone, yeah, or what? I think
more casual even than Hearthstone. And I like how you ask him a question and I'll answer.
Yep.
Because Hearthstone matches are too long to play on your game. You can't play, for me personally, phone games have to be under like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
If
Hearthstone wasn't designed for
And is Plants for Zombies here, is this you playing against an AI or is it against another person?
Either or. Both. But they do have a more robust AI pathing than Hearthstone.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. This,
although Hearthstone's the adventures, you know,
it's free and it's cool. Fun. That's it. That should be all you need.
It looks good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, I have one last thing I want to bring up for highlights and lowlights. Legion did a 7.1 release. I haven't had a lot of time to play it. The big thing that came out was the Karazhan update. So Karazhan is now a 5-person mythic dungeon, but it is 3.5 to 4 hours long, and it has the complexity of a raid. So basically, you can go in as a 5-man, and it treat it like a raid and such. So it's a kind of a cool concept.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
you got to go in there with your ride or die folks,
yeah,
too, though.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to be on mics because there's coordination that needs to happen and all. So they're doing a lot of things right. I think the 7.1 update was really good. I haven't had a chance to go in and play it, but next time I do, I will tell you what Karazhan's all about.
God, I missed you filling up the whole podcast because we had nothing to talk about when we were here.
Oh, I do have one more, but we'll save that for
later. I've been playing Battlefield 1 all week, a lot of that with Lab Monkey. The day that I bought it, I kind of bought it to play with Lab Monkey because he's like, buy it. And the day that I bought it, he wasn't around. Yeah, same thing with Austin.
Two people here were victims of my hyping.
Yeah. And
so what was the scheme you got me on? I did the trial or something?
Yeah, you did the $5 Origin Access for the month. So you get the free trial. I need to cancel that mental note. And so, you know, you can play for 10 hours. I think that's a really good way to see if you like it because BF1 is an Arma 3. I didn't know if Austin would like it. And so I think this is a really good way
I played BF4 on Xbox.
Yeah.
And then, like, I played BF4 on computer.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I was like, I just like, I'm like, I would, with BF4, I killed it. I was doing, I would run out of ammo from killing people on Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the first time I played on PC, I just.
I started watching, because I haven't been into a Battlefield game for a long time, so I was like, let me get caught up. So I watched a video, Battlefield for Beginners. The guy that I started watching it was, he was an Xbox player.
Oh, okay.
And he was just saying how, this is crazy. So everybody knows that auto-aim is a thing, right?
Yeah.
Get this. There's auto-aim for leading people. It will lock in to the appropriate spot according to how fast they're running if you get the cursor in that area.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yes.
Wow.
Dude, I would run out of ammo.
Mm-hmm.
I would kill so many people, primary and secondary, my pistol.
Yeah.
I was down to, like, literally throwing grenades at the ground at my feet to kill the person. seriously. That's where I was at Xbox. And then the first time I played, I played BF4 with you, actually.
Yeah.
And at Thomas and Live Monkey. And it's... Yeah, and I would
hold it. Whole different ball game.
Oh, yeah, way different.
So, having fun, great game. I finished the campaign. Really, again, I just really enjoyed how they broke it up into separate little stories.
Oh,
and there's a female in it too.
Yeah, so that's actually it. I'm gonna buy Battlefield 1 because peer pressure from Lab Monkey and Emilio also forced me to buy.
I was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, he's But also, I mean, literally, I mean, so when you start the game up, it starts you with that single player thing, remember?
Yeah, if you want to, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know you could skip it.
You can skip it if you want to.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I did it all the way through. I was immersed as fuck. And like, I really liked the way, I really
liked it. So you did the tank one or you did them all?
I did all the demo stops after the tank one.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's like five more of those.
There's five, yeah.
But you know, I mean, because like, I don't know. So here's the deal.
This was the story part of it?
Yes. Yeah. So the single player for Battlefield 1, here's the deal. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, like the first one, that was like an awesome game for me, right?
Right.
And then I played Doom, I guess that was 2016?
It was this year.
Yeah. And it retroactively nullified all the experiences I've had previously, you know, because I was like, what was I even doing?
Yeah. In that game? Like, you enjoyed Doom so much.
Yeah, it was so good.
My heart was racing in the game. And I was thinking, like, all these games, like Call of Duty, think about it. Like, you're just, like, walking around shooting people and stuff like that. I was like, what was I even doing?
Yeah.
But with Battlefield 1, it's just like, you know, it's little stories. Like, they're little short stories.
Vignettes.
You know, little vignettes into this terrible war and stuff like that. And it's just like, I love that. Like, I don't want to be a super soldier in fucking World War One. You know,
sometimes the best way, because World War One is such a gigantic thing. Sometimes the best way to show something so large is to show the smallest part of that super large thing, a personal experience.
How long was this?
What?
Play? Dude, I just like when you get deep like that.
Yeah.
First of all, rude.
Well, everyone take a shot. Bobby laughed.
Yeah. First of all, rude. And B, I don't even like you.
How long was the single player?
Single player is what, 5-6 hours, depending on difficulty?
This is a shorter.
I played on harder.
All the Battlefields have been very short.
Okay.
This one, and like I said, it very much depends on the difficulty. If you're playing on easy,
I played it on hard.
Cruise through. If you're playing on hard,
I can't recommend it.
Yeah, you'll die a few times. You have to grind through more soldiers. Yeah. It doesn't really make it a better experience.
Well, don't spoil it.
Yeah, the AI doesn't get better. It's just, it's really, the AI is bad already. And that's a testament to how good the whole vignettes are, because the AI is bad. It clearly bad, but fun. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's you know.
So anyway, what I really wanted to get at is the UI and how fucking god-awful it is and how bad Origin is. And, oh, jeez.
So we're not getting our Origin money this week is what you're saying.
Fuck, dude. It's so bad. Okay. As you guys can tell, Lab Monkey is well-versed in computers. He knows quite a few things. He's a quick-witted dude.
He knew some stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I can fix the occasional problem. Two other guys were, PC gamers are smarter than your average bear, I think. Four guys could not figure out how to get into the same game.
So we knew what we should have been doing, but it did not seem to
be working.
Be working, yeah. And we were in a party. So we would try to join a game. We would all press the click the yes when you join the game, and three people would load into one map and someone else would load into another. And this happened, we spent 10 minutes trying to get in the same game.
It was the most frustrating thing that happened this week, for sure.
Easily.
For sure. This is EA. Guys, they've been making games, AAA titles forever, and they can't make a UI, and they can't make, like, what is going on here? It doesn't make any sense. And on top of, that's not like the worst part. Also, the UI, where the buttons are, the layout, it's all dog shit.
Yeah, and it's very apparent.
You don't know how to do things. Yeah, it's not intuitive at all.
You can't change your loadout from the main menu. You have to be in a game to even change your loadout, unless, wait for the kicker, you download the Battlefield Companion app for iOS and Android.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
No Windows Phone?
there's a lot of EA bullshittery on this. I mean, hopefully, you get the arc of BF4 was really a comeback story, because they just screwed the pooch when that game came out. And by time Battlefield 1 released, BF4 was really a fantastic game. They fixed everything that I think was really wrong with it and really turned it around. So I think they have a much, much better foundation with Battlefield 1, and that the only issues are things like UI, which can be much more easily fixed. That being said, they seem like incredible oversights for a game that they're trying to sell 15 million copies of.
And with this,
this is even more of a testament to how fantastic Blizzard is and how things just work. You know, Overwatch just worked from day one.
Hold on. Take a shot. We are sucking Blizzard's dick.
Yep. Yeah.
So for those keeping track at home,
Blizzard is PC gaming right now to me. All right. So Friday Night Co-op.
Yeah.
I don't remember it because I was fucking wasted.
So
what did we play?
We had a great time. We had a great time.
8-bit Fiesta.
What?
8-bit Fiesta.
Yeah, but,
that was the clincher.
No, the one that really...
The one I think we had the show.
The baseball thing.
Yeah,
lethally. Yeah, so I say lethally, but then also I had...
Wait, can I set the stage for the listeners?
Yeah, go for it,
There was six of us at the house. These two guys were here for the weekend. Bobby came over with a buddy of his that was in town for the
weekend. Who had even other stories I haven't heard about Bobby that... It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, all the things he's done. Professional golfer...
Anyways, that's not
irrigation specialist.
There were six people at the house. We were playing co-op for a couple hours before we went out to the bars, at which we then went to a bar with video games and started playing more video games. Okay, so that's
who, by the way, Lab Monkey, am I good at Street Fighter?
I was going to say, shout out to Emilio, who is really good at Street Fighter. And I also want to say, I'm here on Chad's side. Chad is also pretty good at Street Fighter. I was impressed by Chad's
Street Fighter. I beat him every time. What the fuck are you talking about?
Every time.
Or did you beat me?
I'm pretty sure.
Remember, you're losing as Dawson twice, and then the next round.
Yeah.
So as Chad got... As Emilio got drunker and drunker, Chad got better and better.
But that's his excuse every time, is I got drunk and then I suck. But he drinks all the time, so you can't use that as an excuse every night. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I will say also, so Bobby, like, respect Bobby, because me and Bobby played some Area 51. Here's the deal. So, Bobby, you got 68% accuracy on that game. I got 72, you know. And the deal is, I was like 72, goddamn, like I barely passed, you know, like goddamn it, right? And then I was drinking or whatever, and I looked back over at someone else playing it after me,
yeah,
and they got like 10% accuracy. I'm not getting 10%. Yeah. And I was like, me and Bobby were clutch. Like,
how big were her tits?
No, that is a lot. That is a high percentage for a game like that, because those games like Virtual Cop and Area 51, you just spam. A lot of people just spam that.
Spray and pray. Yeah. That's my method.
Just hope you hit it, dude. We were going for precision shots. One shot, one kill.
Okay, so to get back to the couch co-op,
back
that
to
we
Friday
did,
night,
Lethal League was a big hit.
I think it was great.
We played some Move or Die, which was not as fun for you guys.
I think Move or Die
has problems. It's got problems.
Because we had a blast when we played.
Do you guys think you were too drunk at that point? Because it seems like you guys are having trouble just comprehending the rules of the game. It went very quick.
Here's the thing.
It's a fast-paced game. It's little things very fast at you.
So much is going on.
There were modes that were so fun, and I was having a blast, right? And there's other modifiers and modes and stuff like that
it's
were
the modifiers that
ruined.
There are modifiers
like
I don't care.
Someone chose a mode where you can, like, basically you have a flashlight, and you can only see
around
your immediate vicinity. And I was like, I'm not having fun at all right now.
Yeah. Like, they push those modes on you right at the beginning. I think it would be better to have that come in later.
Add those in later.
You can
choose,
but they kind of throw it there, like right in your face. Like, hey, pick a mode, and you're like, okay, what's that? Or a modifier. I mean, but I think we can all agree the cleanup one is the best mini game.
I won every single time, Bobby. The cleanup mode.
But.
Oh, is this an explicit podcast?
Oh yeah, we don't give a fuck.
You can fucking swear all you want.
Yeah, swear up a storm.
Sorry, I guess I might have single-handedly made it.
Yeah,
explicit podcast.
How many swear words can you do in a row without stuttering? Go.
Fucking fuck, 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 fuck.
No, it's different ones.
Oh,
jackass.
Hey, you didn't specify. All right, so what else? Move or Die. 8-bit Fiesta we played at the end. We won with four drinkers, two or not.
So hiding in plain sight.
Oh, hiding in plain sight.
That was fantastic.
I'm going to buy that game.
Yeah.
Buy. That's a buy. That's a buy right
do
there.
Do you know how much that is? Game is Bobby. Can you look that up real quick?
I think that game, the one mode was really popular. What was
it? Death Race.
Death Race. So the other mode's kind of dog shit. Death Race is by itself worth the price of admission.
Yeah, I think it's $6.99 if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but $6.99, that's an instant buy. $5.99, instant buy for me. If you're going to play co-op,
would not recommend it.
Yes, the more people, definitely the better, because there's a lot of backstabbing. I'm not going to name names. Bobby's friend, but someone even reach over and grab my controller to try to prevent me from winning. Yeah. So it gets heated, and it is a really, really good time.
Okay. Well, the great thing about this game, we've talked about it before, but just to update or to refresh and make sure everyone knows what we're talking about. In Death Race, what you're doing is people are walking in a line. It's like red light, green light almost. People are walking in a line towards a finish line, and everybody has one bullet that they can use to shoot somebody. There are like maybe 15, 20 people on the screen, and you have four real people. So you are trying to pretend to be an AI and make it to the right side of the screen. If you run too far ahead, you're in the lead, but then you look very suspicious and you'll probably get shot. So it's head games. And that was the funnest part about this, is we're all playing head games with each other.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, great game.
We also played Overcooked. That did not go as successfully as I would have liked.
So I think Overcooked is a really bad drinking game.
Yeah.
So Overcooked is a game. So my girlfriend used to like, I can't remember that game.
Pie Maker or something like that?
Oh, my God.
Some Yahoo games.
So my girlfriend was addicted to this Yahoo Games game. Yeah, you guys know Yahoo Games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever, like Flash games and stuff, right? And it was where you would pretend to run a kitchen and, you know, you click a bunch of stuff, right? And the deal is, I was like, oh yeah. And actually I've got 10 hours of logged on Steam of that game.
Okay.
Because it's on Steam now. But we played Overcooked, right? And it's the same exact game, but it's so fucking stressful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's
and
the
this
fun.
Is why this is
people,
why
because you try to delegate. Yeah. You know,
you're not allowed to drink at work because of what happened that night.
Exactly.
Like,
friends became enemies.
Dude, like, yeah. I mean, like, it's not even backstabbing. It's just like you didn't do your job, Thomas. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of finger pointing.
It's not anger. It's disappointment.
Yeah, you need to play this sober, and you know, maybe on some Adderall. Maybe some amphetamines might be.
Yeah,
in order.
That would definitely help out.
So I think my takeaway from the night was I was so good at Lethal League, I actually crashed the game. They said no more.
Did you play as the alligator?
No,
Bobby played as the alligator.
I was the robot.
Bobby's never good at controller games, and he just wrecked shop. He came in and fucking showed us.
So my experience with this is Bobby just says, you're like, I'm not good at I'm not good at all. And
this is the only game he's good at when it comes to controllers.
Well,
everything else.
We never,
Overcooked.
The screen turned colors I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I mean, you just hit the buttons really fast, and, you know, sometimes things work out in your favor.
And so cognitive dissonance, for me, I was sitting there like, either Bobby is amazing, and he's amazing, but Bobby's an amazing dude. Actually, I'll give him credit for that.
He is amazing.
However, maybe he's an OP character. Like, maybe his shit's OP.
It's one of those two. Maybe a combination.
Yeah, probably a combination, because the crocodile, not alligator, guys, was...
How do you know the difference?
Look at the nose, man.
Emilio. It's the... So, crocodiles, they had their teeth over the bottom of their mouth.
That's it?
Yeah.
So they have an overbite.
A crocodile has an overbite.
Is that how you identified the crocodile over there?
You look at an alligator, they look ugly. A crocodile, it's like, hey...
So now we're getting into bestiality. Okay.
No, not now.
Oh, this is one of those type of podcasts.
It's all sorts of types of podcasts.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on Friday Night Co-op? I got one more.
We ended with 8-Bit Fiesta because that is the actual drinking game.
Yeah.
And it's probably not a good one to end with because it's at that point we shouldn't have been drinking more.
Yeah.
I will say. So Austin the final word on 8-Bit Fiesta is that. They were talking about how it was a drinking game, right? And it was like, yeah, it gives you drinks, right?
It punishes you for losing.
Mm-hmm. It punishes you. And I was like, oh, I can drink a beer. Are you kidding me? I could take a sip of beer. And it was like, Austin, five sips of beer.
Yeah.
I was like, five?
Yeah.
But that's because you were the worst loser.
Yeah, you were losing.
I was second place.
But then I remember you guys talking about this before when you talked about this game, but then it snowballs.
Yeah, it's a
snowball. We just take
game.
Five sips. And so Chad, who was started out the most sober, ended the most sober because he just kept winning.
Mm-hmm. And the games go fairly quick. How long is a round?
30 seconds.
Yeah. Very quick.
And then
so
you get four drinks at the end.
Doesn't sound like a lot. Like that adds up very quickly. And
yes, it
people
does.
Who do bad tend to progressively do worse and worse.
Okay. I got one more game. Bobby, if you want to bring this up, I'm a little embarrassed to talk about this, but I played it, so I will talk about it. The game is called Crush Crush, and it's on Steam. I played it off somebody's account. I don't know whose account I played it on. Basically, it's a dating sim game, but it's a dating sim with the management control, like what's that one?
Venture capitalist?
That venture capitalist. It's very much like venture capitalist, but with...
But for vaginas.
With dating sim. It's clean, though. I don't want you guys to think that it's not clean.
These pictures aren't clean.
It's very, like...
It's all really sexualized.
It's kind of innocent.
Well,
like,
there's no nudity.
Flirt, date. Like, it's not, like... It's not sexual, really. It's more
what?
Like... Well, it's more like
it's sexualized, it's but it's not. There's yeah. no sex in the game.
It's PG dating, more like Disney idea of dating.
Okay,
like Chad, you weren't there, but Time to Hentai.
Yeah,
with the VR. So with the very like literally Oculus Dev Kit 1.
Yep.
Time to Hentai for me.
Instant
was literally
before I was installed
4 minutes. Like okay. I'm serious. Like it was. Like people are like, oh, this is the Oculus Rift Dev Kit 1. Like you are a first person. Like you're this is a transformational experience, right? And I was like, all right, I'm in a garden. Cool. Yeah, I've been in a garden before. What
Let
else
me
you
get
got?
That tentacles in there.
I was like, what else you got? And they're like, we got this anime chick that can suck your dick. And I was like, all right, let's bring it on. And okay. So I don't know. So
none of this is involved in this game. There's no.
So you're telling me there's no Oculus Rift DK1
nope.
hentai dick sucking in this game.
Nope.
Fuck it. Okay. Fuck it. This game is no buy.
I'm saying it's free to play, no buy.
I'm saying for me, it's free to play and no buy. What about you, Thomas?
Once you've been to the promised land, you can't go.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah, it's a no go. This is old.
Oh, that's
technology.
Why it's a free to play. It's a
old
play
technology.
Game. So
what about you, Chad? Are you gonna buy this game?
Well, it's free to play.
Did you buy it?
Well, it's free.
Wow.
So I guess the answer is no.
This kid, dude.
I'm trying to get through this game. Can I finish talking about this game?
Chad, I do apologize for interrupting you. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, I'm done. I got nothing else to add.
He just wanted the apology.
He's like, I love anime.
It was fun.
Austin's getting the hang of this. At first, he was raising his hand very politely, waiting yeah. his turn, and now he's just jumping in. Although you did kind of do the thing where you raise your hand and then you interrupt anyway.
You're used to that.
It's the warning that he's going to interrupt.
Yeah. It's like when I was young and I told my mom, I'm like, look, mom, you got to knock before you come and, you know, my door. So she would knock and then open up the door. Like, knock, knock, hey. It's like, right, you got to give me more than a split second,
your
mom.
Dick's in your hand. Yeah. Mom, come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, once that happens and it's every single yeah. time, knock, hello, and then she would wait because, yeah.
Yeah, you only, that only happens once.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it was fun. It's free to play. They try to sell you on. It's like a freemium game where they try to sell you to do different things.
But do you think you can? Could you, you know, theoretically, this is you know not for
this
me.
This was fun.
Could you play through and beat the whole game without paying any money?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
This looks like dog shit to me.
I know it's not your style of game,
bro,
but you didn't
bro,
play.
Emilio, don't talk shit about anime, dude.
This is barely anime. This is like.
Listener at home, Google Crush Crush and go to the fucking Steam page and then tell me if this is not anime or not. Like, yeah.
Okay, well the tags on it are anime, free to play.
Hold on,
wait for it. Dating sim, clicker, nudity. Those are the top tags for this game.
There is absolutely no nudity.
Chad, why did you play this game?
It was free to play, and I was like, oh, okay, this is...
You know what? Every week, other week, you bring in one of these things. So you must love these giant...
No, so here's what happens is that...
They're funny, that's why.
Yeah, he searched out the first one, but then Steam just yeah. keeps feeding it to
Steam,
him, and so he
Steam
keeps playing
keeps
it. You can't
adding
blame
it to
him.
My queue.
Steam curator.
Well, yeah. So Thomas always jokes about buying these like anime dating games for me, right?
Wow, you're just calling him out straight on a podcast. Okay, cool.
Well, no, I joke about it. I don't actually do it. I joke about it.
But he jokes about it. But here's, I'm calling him out because he's like, oh, yeah, but you love this game. I'm like, yeah, I mean, if you want to gift it to me, like, it's all good, dude. Like, I'll love that game. You know, well, and he's like, nah. Like,
this one is
baited.
Free.
It's fucking baited, dude.
Yeah, this one's free, though. Like, Shifter 3.
Can you send people on free games?
No, you can't.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
You should. You should. You do the share function. All right, Bobby, we moving on?
Oh, yeah, let's move into news.
What are we at, by the way, Bobby? Do we even want to know?
Oh, yeah, we're at an hour and a half. We're doing all right.
Hour and a half, too long.
That's not too bad.
Hour and a half.
God damn. All right, Emil, yeah. do your thing.
After the Armor 3 suite, that was...
Yep.
Okay, so anyway. Origin, this is pretty big. If you're... Wow, I have no idea. If you're Myanmarian? A Miramite?
You say Burman, maybe?
If you're a Marmite?
So Myanmar is also Burma.
Burmese? Oh.
Yeah, Burmese. Yeah, there you go. Burmese.
Okay.
Sure. Chad with the clutch.
I might be wrong, though.
Known for their pythons.
Yep.
Yeah. So you woke up and you can't play your games. Also in Iran, same thing happened. Origin blocked both. The way that it was been explained to me is that they use encryption to get their games. Origin has encryption.
Yeah, for the DRM.
Yeah, and
it's illegal in these countries.
Those countries don't want sneaky stuff coming in.
No, so I'll fix it.
No, that was pretty much it. I nailed it.
We got it right. So, moving on.
Okay, so the U.S. has sanctions against Myanmar and Iran. Myanmar for terrorism issues and human rights issues, are on for the same. And so there are a lot of export regulations. You know, I worked at the Apple retail store many moons ago, and we had to deal with the same stuff. And so encryption, specifically high-level encryption, like the kind that Origin or EA DRM uses, is considered like a low-grade weapon. Hmm. And so that's why it is unavailable, because, you know, they just don't want that kind of encryption going over there. Granted, it's probably not really going to matter in the long run, but...
They should have gave him a trigger warning.
Yeah, so most likely someone at EA just said, hey, we don't want to get sued over this. Or, hey, we realize we've been breaching, you know, this. Yeah, you know, so they're probably trying to cover their asses. And a lot of people say, hey, why don't you just refund the people in those countries that can now no longer play their games? Well, because if you refund, then that's a business transaction. It seems like they're kind of SOL.
But those people can sue somebody.
No, they can't.
The people can't play their games anymore.
So this is another thing that a lot of people didn't realize until this happened. When you buy a game on Origin, it's software. You're paying for a license. They can at any time take back that license, and there's nothing you can do about it. You do not own the software. You do not. You own the license.
Are you saying when I check that little box that, like, I agree with whatever you say, they have that right to take the game back?
They have this right.
Wow.
So Thomas, you know, the Nintendo Switch is coming out, right?
Yeah.
So when
what is that?
When Nintendo Switch.
I have no idea.
Nvidia?
It's their new console.
It's a new console. It's like all modular and everything.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
Should we cover this?
Nintendo merged.
It's not PC.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Nintendo.
Yeah. So anyway, what's the reason
we're all here?
What's the relevance?
My point was is that, like, so
it won't play Armor 3. So,
yeah. I mean, fuck that shit. Do not buy, all you listeners, do not buy the Nintendo Switch because it cannot play Arma 3. Like,
we've never had an episode called a game, but I think this episode might be called
Arma 3.
Like, literally, that's a good title is Arma 3. Oh, God damn it. That would be really funny.
Arma 3.
But, right, okay, so what's
my point was, you know, that was the point where Nintendo is merging mobile and console,
yeah,
right? So 3DS is going to end. I just bought a 3DS.
Is it going to end though? Because you own the
dude, pretend
it's going to end.
I have online game. No, I bought through the Nintendo store.
Okay.
What's this have to do with Iran?
I bought Zelda on the 3DS
shop, things like that.
Awesome. What's this have to do with Iran?
Yes, yeah, so hurry. Yeah, hurry. Get to the point.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me hurry up real quick.
Jeff Goldblum coming out, folks.
If you don't know, Austin looks exactly like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
I look exactly like Jeff Goldblum. Like, I am so I didn't notice
it.
Hot.
I won't wait for
so
it.
So fucking hot.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff Goldblum.
But the point is it's just like, what happens after the 3DS is done?
Yeah, exactly.
All those games.
Then those servers are off. You might not be able to re-download them. So one thing people have said, though, because they talk about this, you know, what happens when, okay, say EA goes bankrupt, right? Their servers go down.
Origin, yeah.
You don't have those games anymore.
Right.
So something that Steam has built in is Steam says, look, if we ever go out of business, if we ever go down, like, these games are yours. like download them, keep them, whatever. So Steam has kind of built that in. But I think this was a really rude awakening for people that think they own games when they don't. They own licenses of games. And that's like, this is our nightmare cyberpunk future. This is just the way it is now.
This is the worst possible thing. This is the nightmare.
This is the darkest.
All our games
this
are
is,
gone. Yeah.
This is the darkest timeline. This is the, exactly. The darkest timeline is when. So, like, I'll say with my 3DS, all my Pokemon games I bought with a cartridge.
That's
like,
brilliant.
Yeah.
So, buy the physical ones, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a CD.
Like I mean, like, so like, if you give a shit.
But I'm just saying, like, look, there's no way. This is the way the industry is going. You need to accept it, but you also need to be just in the know that this is how things are. So there's nothing you can really do about it, but this is something you need to be aware of.
Okay. Thomas, would you rather eat MRI food rations, like military ones?
MRE
for the rest of your life?
Or I'll take option
or
B.
No gaming? For the rest of your life.
MREs aren't that bad.
Yeah, some MREs are not that bad.
No, you guys are stupid. You guys are fucking
So he's eating them in Arma 3.
Tell us how you really feel, dude.
So so an MRE,
yeah,
it's built for people who are expending more than 3,000 calories
a
day.
Yeah, it's got a lot of calories.
I hit in the gym then.
Yeah, I know. I mean, here's the deal. If y'all fucking gamers are like, oh, I'll just eat an MRE, like it's good to go, you know, whatever. No, dude. You will shit for days. Wow. You will shit for days.
All right.
NVIDIA AI press conference.
Yep. So I went to a conference this past week for work. That was all about machine learning and artificial intelligence. Spoiler alert, that's what I do. And so it was really cool. I saw the schedule, and someone from NVIDIA actually came and talked about using their GPUs for doing neural nets and deep learning. And it was a really interesting talk. It wasn't super technical. It was one of their high-level salespeople. But he did give a really good overview on kind of where they were in terms of doing these kinds of things and where they were heading. So I'm sure a lot of you know, right now they have something, I think it's called the DGX-1, and it is 8 of their Tesla graphics cards in one server box. And it's something like 170 teraflops of compute performance.
Thomas, give me a perspective on
that. Yeah, perspective, I believe the 1080 is about 7 or 8 teraflops.
And this is how many?
This is 170.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's some pretty good frames in Crysis 3.
Yeah, Crysis 3.
that's the benchmark. Anyway, so it was really interesting. And so I think it's interesting that NVIDIA is branching out, not just from gaming, because, you know, even this very much not to a gaming audience, you know, they were still very proud of it, and they still mentioned that that's one of their main uses for these cards, but they also talked about the fact that a lot of their customers are more and more research institutes. More and more data scientists, data engineers, people like that. And I think that's just really interesting. So I think, you know, NVIDIA is doing a lot of really interesting stuff, even outside of the gaming space. And so I was happy to see that, you know, we as gamers have helped a company that is now influencing really kind of the path that our world is going to take in terms of AI and you know, self-driving Thomas, cars and things like that.
Thomas talking about like that he's involved with machine learning and AI. When I thought he was going to get here, I was going to, hey, what are you working on exactly? He said a bunch of words. I don't know what he was talking about, but
I could have just made it all up.
I thought he was going to be saying like, well, I'm working on something called Carl, and Carl can now pay your taxes, manage your home, and we're trying to teach it how to suck your dick. But none of that. No, it was like, yeah, a bunch of words I didn't understand.
So if you know, if you're thinking like, you know NVIDIA because I've got NVIDIA, I got a water cooled 1070 or something.
Yeah,
you know,
I think NVIDIA. We all love NVIDIA.
Yeah,
I love NVIDIA. Right. Tell you what. So all day long, I write natural language processing software, and UT Dallas, dude, NVIDIA on a email. They sent Abhijit here. Sent him 3 Titan X's.
Wow. Wow. What do we have to do to do? Well, yeah. How's that work?
We can write an email.
So Abhijit has, you know, he's got a PhD, so you need that first. Like, so if you need it,
he's got an impressive email footer.
That email footer is sick.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty stacked.
I got a question for you, Lab.
Yeah, go for it.
Are you concerned that NVIDIA is pretty much now the only thing doing this? There's no competition for these high end ones. Does that concern you?
Austin, tell us how you really feel.
He's not in.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, not really, because I think that AMD will eventually bring up something. So I think AMD was smart, right? They knew, just from an engineering standpoint, they couldn't compete with
Austin disagrees.
This really works well on a podcast.
All right.
I think AMD is going to come out with something relatively competitive. I think they came in where they did because they could outsell NVIDIA when there's no NVIDIA cards to combat what they were putting on the market, right? So like the RX 480, the 1060 wasn't out yet. That was a really smart place to go because there was nothing of this generation that was competing with that. But I do think that when AMD releases their next cards, you know, hopefully they'll have HBM2, who knows. But I also think the difference is in the back end. So the NVIDIA graphics architecture uses CUDA, and that is open source. That has been open source for something like 13 years.
Yep.
And so that's why I think people go towards NVIDIA, because that CUDA architecture is much, much easier to use. Is that what you're trying to get at, Austin?
Yeah, I'm literally, Abhijit has more than 10,000 lines of code in CUDA.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So I think CUDA is what definitely separates NVIDIA from AMD in the space. So regardless of graphical power, NVIDIA is just much more set up for this stuff on the, you know, the software side.
Cool. What else we got?
That next one we're going to skip because now we're talking about. Yeah. Voice actor strike is going on, and the somebody put a website up attacking.
It was a lot of the publishers that were dealing in the negotiations. Basically, what's been happening for the past few years, I believe it's called SAG-AFTRA. It is the voice actors' arm of SAG. Have been negotiating.
SAG is what?
Screen Actors Guild.
The Screen Actors Guild.
And so they've been negotiating with a lot of large publishers. So think EA, Ubisoft, you know, all the big ones. Just for better rights for their union workers. So, you know, where you stand on their claims, like, we're not going to get into that. But they could not come to an agreement. And so now everyone in that union is on strike. And so in retaliation, the major publishers have thrown up a website saying, you know, of course, saying they're in the wrong, things like that. So this will affect games down the line, although the statistic I saw was that only about 25% of voice actors in video games are part of the union. Mm-hmm. So while this will definitely put a huge dent in it, and there are some of the major voice actors are in that union, who knows? It may just end up meaning that the other voice actors get more work. I'm not an expert. I don't know where this is going to go, but they are on strike at the moment for things they think that they deserve.
So people don't realize how much money goes into video games, though. Like StarCraft II, there was $100 million into the soundtrack.
Wow.
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit.
What game?
StarCraft II.
Oh, yeah.
You think you watch like Captain America, Winter Soldier, right? And you're like, oh, of course it's a fucking movie. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like. I'm talking to my girlfriend Kelly. I'm like, I'm like, dude, you understand that people pay $60 per game?
Yeah, we've talked several times. Like, video games make more money than movies. They cost more money than movies. They're more expensive than movies.
And I think
more money than movies, dude.
Yeah, and I think to your point though, you know, they're very as much as people try to.
They make more money than movies.
One game doesn't make more money than one blockbuster.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yes,
I think it depends.
Yes, they do.
I think it depends. Mm-hmm. On the game.
Well,
what? Like, okay, so Avengers Avengers is the...
All right.
Made $1 billion, right?
A Marvel
no
movie...
No games are making $1 billion.
GTA
5 would.
Yeah.
One.
True, but we're talking about... Okay, you're talking about the largest movie blockbuster. We're talking about the largest, you know, game blockbuster.
Yeah.
Right. But you're right. I think in general, there are a lot more... I mean, there's AAA, there are AAA games like and AAA movies.
Well, Amelia, so my point was that, like, so
a little bit.
Kelly, who doesn't know anything about games, she's sitting there, like, I'm not saying, like, yeah, StarCraft II had an orchestral score. Like, yeah. It had score. Like, yeah, fucking score, dude. Like, yeah. You know, like, and she's like, where'd they get the money from? Like, it's $60 a pop, dude. Like, yeah. Keep, like, of course they had the money, dude.
I keep thinking that Austin's going to tell me that nature will find a way.
All right, let's get through this. We're almost done.
Okay.
Microsoft enables offline mode for PC games. Duh. Why wouldn't you do this? Not everybody can have internet all the time, especially when Austin's cat shits on top of his router.
So does that mean that they're not doing DRM anymore, or are they doing some offline DRM, or how's this? Do we know?
I don't know.
I don't believe that they gave any details on that, at least that I saw.
Okay.
Especially because what I'm curious about is, like you said, how things like Forza work, you know, because if you buy the digital version of Forza for Xbox One, Forza Horizon 3, then you also get it for PC. So I'm wondering how you would, you know, how are they going to stop people from playing both at the same time? Yeah. You could buy an Xbox code, play that, and give the other one to your buddy and just say, hey, go offline when you're going to play it so that it doesn't conflict with me playing. So I guess we'll see more of that in the future.
LabMonkey, I want to just go on record as saying is that I resent that you're better than me on the podcast on your first time.
Pretty much everybody is that goes on, right?
Well, I mean, this is Austin here. This is my first time on the podcast, and it's also...
Well, you have a podcast, sir.
Yeah, you do have a podcast.
Second of all, you're not doing that good.
I'm just shitting out this.
The arm of three to other words ratio is too high.
All right, Bobby, finish this off. Or Milo. Are we doing anything coming up this week?
Let's see. Anything on the board? We got... Well, this will be coming out Tuesday, so...
After Halloween
will be over, hopefully.
Halloween sale going on.
I didn't buy a damn thing. I got all the scary games I want. Nothing really looked good. Are you guys...
What was the one with the puppy and the girl and the sister that's lost? That one looked like you're up your speed.
You're going to have to be more specific.
Like the one of Puppers and Doggos?
We'll talk offline.
Okay. Yeah, anyone picking up anything for the Halloween sale?
I haven't even looked at it. I haven't been on Steam since it went live.
So, Arma 3 Apex.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, though. You can get Arma 3 with Apex, which is a $60 DLC. Total, all of it was $60, and that's what I'll be buying.
I just want to throw in a disclaimer. We are not being paid by the devs of Arma 3. Yeah. I promise.
Or Star Citizen.
Or Star Citizen.
Or Origin, obviously.
And you're saying that you don't like the way it plays? It doesn't feel right?
Yeah, there's. I really love what it's doing.
So we're R3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love...
You can't talk. Austin, cut his mic.
I really love what they're doing with it. I think it's a really cool game, really cool concept.
Should I buy it?
And I've definitely had some fun moments in it. I would say yes, because even though I don't love it, it is... I think it's fantastic to experience.
Okay.
So even if you don't come back and play for 100 hours... There's enough really cool stuff to see and enough stuff in that game you can't see anywhere else that I think it's worth
it. What is it about the feel that you don't like?
Well, I mean, we'll end off on this in the fact that I'm going to buy a BF1.
Okay.
I've already agreed to it.
Okay.
I got guilt-tripped into it.
Yeah.
But, dude, you know...
But I don't want to spend $60 on a game that I don't like the feel of.
You'll pay $40 for Arma, right?
I would...
If you want to get the DLC.
You can play it off my account.
Yeah, you could try it out.
Yeah, we got family.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I would definitely suggest trying it first. The thing that doesn't click with me is that it's so focused on being a mil sim. That's a military simulator for those of you at home.
For the layman.
It's so focused on being a mil sim that I think just the second-to-second gameplay doesn't feel really good. But at the same time...
No, not at all. Not at all.
It is not as smooth or fluid as something like Battlefield or Call of Duty. It doesn't feel very tight. But at the same time, in no other game can you sit in the gunner seat of a Jeep that's hanging below a helicopter and fly over a town shooting people.
Okay. Cool.
So I guess speaking for Jeff Goldblum, Private Pile.
Who's that?
That's
LabMonkey. Lance Bass.
Last Bass, there it is. Yeah. And we couldn't bring up one for him, but I think...
Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy from what?
Any male character from Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like... I took some pictures of Bobby here as he's holding this fucking microphone.
You've been taking a lot of pictures of me this weekend, dude.
No. I was constantly taking pictures of Bobby because he just fucking looks scenic right now, like with this fucking microphone. Are you kidding me, dude?
And for John Travolta.
Who's John Travolta? Bullshit. All right, finish this up. This one's done.
I will... Tons of titties because we have so many guys in here. We need several racks of titties. Thank you, everybody. Good night.